Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman. So glad to have you back with us here on Reading the Word. What we're doing is we're looking, and we've been on this for about five or six lessons now. We're looking at the Word. And I don't just mean the Word of God, but I mean how Jesus is introduced by God, or by John, excuse me, in the first five verses of his gospel account. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the same was God in the beginning. That's what we're looking at. And so we're on the fourth major section out of five, and we're looking at how Jesus is the I Am, or how the Word is the I Am. And last week, we began our study, and we were looking at the seven. Jesus Christ makes seven I Am statements. In the first one, John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. Also 6:48. Number two, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. Number three, Jesus says, I am the door. John chapter 10, verse number 7. Number four, he says, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. And number five, what we've gotten to so far, in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And now we're going to pick up our study in the 14th chapter of John. I'll be reading from the King James translation. Let's look at the sixth I Am statement that Jesus Christ says. He says, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to notice the grammar that Jesus uses. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I want you to note, and I put some emphasis on those words for a reason, because Jesus is being very specific. He's using a definite article, the, you know, articles, a, an, and the. A, that's, you know, it could be any. For instance, where I'm at, if I said, here is a microphone, I am talking into a microphone, and you would go, well, I wonder which one, because there's two, if not three, microphones in this room I'm in. Or here is a light, or here is a cord, or whatever. I'm kind of being vague. Or here's a cup. But friends, if I say, I am talking into the microphone, I'm talking into the purple microphone, or I'm looking at the lamp on my right, or I'm drinking out of the blue cup on my left. Friends, whatever the case may be, when I say the, I'm being definite, and I rule out every other option. I don't mean the cup on my right if I mean the cup on my left, but I specify that. Friends, notice what Jesus says. He says, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only life. He says, and no one comes to the Father but, or except, or by, no one comes to the Father but by me. Friend, Jesus only talks about one way. There are not multiple ways. It's not choose your own way and hope everything works out for you. Friends, there is one way. Friends, Christ, Jesus, will never lie to you. He never will. It's against his nature. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is I Am statement number six. And then lastly, number seven of the I Am statements of Jesus Christ our Lord, he says, I am the true vine. That's found in John chapter 15 and the first five verses. Would you join me there? I'll be reading once again from the King James translation, John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 5, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Since I am the vine, and ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Friends, Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. You know, a leaf that's been pulled off the vine, it's going to wither and it's going to die. So then why do people, I wonder. Why do people, friends, separate themselves from God, and then they wonder why they're no longer being spiritually nourished? They have voluntarily separated. They have removed themselves from the vine. And anything taken off the vine, it withers. Friends, we know what happens with flowers. When flowers die, they're removed. And so the same things happen when we're removed from the vine, because there is just one vine. Notice that definite article, the. It says, I am the true vine. Friends, we must be connected to the Father. He says, if you're not connected to the Father, then you've missed it. Look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch that withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. He says, if you don't abide in me, if you die, you're going to be pruned. You're going to be cut off. You're going to be cast in the fire. So he says, I am the true vine. Abide in me. That means abide by and through his teaching, his doctrines, his commandments. So your seven I am statements very quickly, and then we will continue our study here. But I feel this is a great time to recap. Jesus Christ says, number one, I am the bread of life. Number two, I am the light of the world. Number three, I am the gate. Number four, I am the good shepherd. Number five, I am the resurrection and the life. Number six, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And number seven, he says, I am the true vine. Now that paints a pretty good picture of who Jesus the Christ is. My question for you is, who are you? Jesus just gave us a list of seven things about himself. We know I am goes back to Exodus 3, Exodus 4. Now, we're not asking you to be God. That's physically impossible. Asking you to be the one that God's commanded you to be. Now, we know, according to Luke 15, 3 through 7, Jesus is out looking for lost sheep. Friends, are you lost or are you found? Remember, he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd cares for his sheep. Friends, let's pause here. On the other side of this break, we will begin our fifth leg and final leg of this study, how the Word is the basis for our salvation, here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Reading the Word. So glad you decided to stick around with us. Let's begin the final part, the fifth part, of our study of the Word. And let's see how the Word is the basis for our salvation. Now, we've talked about how the Word is in the beginning. We've talked about how the Word is God, how the Word is the Messiah and the Son of God, and we just finished talking about how the Word is the great I Am. Well, this lesson, or this series of lessons, going to look at how the Word is the basis for our salvation. You know, sometimes it seems that we dig a hole with our words. In fact, the great Will Rogers once said, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. I just wonder how many people need to heed this today. Friends, how responsible are you for your words? Very responsible. So what I want us to do is we look at how the Word is the basis for our salvation. I want us to look at four different and distinct set of words. You ready? Number one, we'll talk about your words. Your words. When Paul writes those in Ephesus in Ephesians 4:29, says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Friends, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed come from your mouth. It means you shouldn't speak evil of people. You need to build people up, not tear them down. Also in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Friends, how can you speak evil of good things? We must give an account for every word that we say, that we utter. He says you're either going to be justified or condemned, so your words, they need to be good. Now, we know in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God should direct our lives, our minds, our attitudes. But let's see what Paul tells those in Philippi in Philippians 2 and verse 14. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputes. So sometimes we need to change our attitude. Friends, sometimes we have the wrong attitude when it comes to doing work for the Lord. Sometimes we think, well, I just don't want to do it. Friends, get rid of that attitude and instead do it with a smile on your face. So that's our first one we want to look at. How responsible are you? We're looking at your words, number one. Number two, let's look at my words. My words. We'll begin our reading here in Colossians 2, 1 through 8. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Friends, when Paul says, I'm concerned, I have a great conflict about you, in verse 8, that's an imperative you. Friends, we're responsible for the words we say. We're also responsible for the words that we take in and the words we keep. You know, I hear some things sometimes that it's just vulgar, and I would have never even put those words together. And I heard it, not that I was wanting to hear it, but sometimes you get out in public and you just hear people say things. In the workplace, you just hear people say things, but I don't have to hold on to it. I don't have to repeat it. I don't have to commit it to memory. Friends, let's see what Paul says in Ephesians 4:15-16. We speak the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And from the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Friends, we need to speak the truth in love. We have to. Now, sometimes I say we need to do some tough love. That's still love. But we speak the truth in love. Sometimes I've told people things when they've asked my opinion on what the Bible says, and I don't give you my opinion. I tell you what the Bible says, though. And I've had to tell people, you're not in a right relationship with the Lord. You shouldn't be with that person. You shouldn't be doing that. Friends, I'm telling them information they don't want to hear, more likely than not. But it's my job to tell them. And so I speak the truth in love. Let's quickly look at one more passage in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of an antichrist, whereof ye've heard that he should come, even now is already in the world. Friends, it is our job that we warn people about those that are not speaking truth. How do you know the spirit of error versus the spirit of truth? You have to know what the truth is. Friends, my words. I must take full ownership of my words. And that's where we need to pause our lesson here. I hope you'll join us again next time. We will conclude our study on how the Word is the basis for salvation. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you for listening to Reading the Word.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.